Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on Saturday, August 4th. And on today's show, we are going to recap Saturday morning's Miami Dolphins scrimmage that took place at Hard Rock Stadium. It was not good, folks. I know it's only really the second week of training camp, and they've only had about 8 practices or so, but we sort of have to call it like we see it here. Now, I'm not going to overreact to it, but this was a bad, bad scrimmage, a bad practice. However you want to word it, Saturday was not good, to say the least. It was downright horrible what we saw on the football field this Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium. Let's get to it. First off, about roughly only 4,000 to 4,500 people showed up, fans. Just a horrible turnout by the Miami Dolphins fans. Not sure why, not sure if fans weren't aware of the scrimmage, which if so, that falls back on the Miami Dolphins organization for not, you know, advertising it enough. I mean, it was free to get in. It didn't cost you a dime. It was free to park and free to walk in. Anybody could have went to the scrimmage Saturday morning, and pretty much nobody showed up. You have to factor in most NFL teams when they hold an event like this, when they hold a scrimmage, you know, they get between anywhere from 15,000 to 25,000 fans show up and watch this. This morning, the Miami Dolphins only had, you know, roughly 4,000 people in attendance, if that. It was not nice. It was not pretty. And once again, don't know whose fault it is. Maybe the fans in South Florida are just sort of fed up with this team right now, and it's sort of a wait-and-see approach. And even for an event like this that's free, they're not going to show up. I don't know. It's either that, or it's that the Miami Dolphins front office just did not advertise this enough. Either way, not many people were in attendance, so I'm guessing most of you listening to this have no clue what happened or have only seen little tidbits here or there online. So let's recap the scrimmage. First off, in the scrimmage today, there was no tackling. No tackling in the scrimmage. And on the injury front, a few guys sat out. Again, no surprise here. The guys who have been sitting out, tight end A.J. Derby, center slash guard Jake Brendel, wide receiver Isaiah Ford, and defensive end William Hayes did not participate today in the scrimmage. Obviously, Ford, he still has the shoulder. Jake Brendel has the right calf. A.J. Derby has the foot. And Hayes was shaken up in practice this week. So neither one of them, or none of them, participated in practice or in this scrimmage today. Overall, the offense, and let's just, like I said, I'm not going to overreact this. So you're probably going to hear a lot of negativity from me today when talking about what happened in the scrimmage. Again, not going to go crazy, not going to, you know, the sky is falling. But we got to be honest with what we saw, and it was bad. I mean, there's just no way about it. The pre-snap penalties that the Miami Dolphins had today, specifically on offense and on that side of the ball, were just, you know, tough to stomach because it wasn't just one, it wasn't just two, it wasn't just a handful. It was endless. And the flags were being thrown left and right for pre-snap penalties, primarily on the offense, but there was also some on the defense as well. And the pre-snap penalties were an issue with this team last year. And throughout the entire season, Miami, you know, had a ton of penalties called against them, and a lot of them were pre-snap penalties. You know, the false starts, illegal motions, all that stuff. Well, today they had their fair share of them, so that pretty much hampered the offense from doing almost anything, and it was tough to watch. After the scrimmage, Adam Gase, the first thing he brought up when he met with the media was the pre-snap penalties, and it's something they have to work on, and that falls directly onto the head coach, Adam Gase. Adam Gase has to solve this problem, and I know he said he makes guys run after practice when they have a bad practice to sort of, you know, as a punishment for pre-snap penalties and practice and such. Well, that ain't working. You can make these guys run to their legs fall off. that clearly is not working. It didn't work last year, and it's not working this year. He has to come up with a way to solve the issue with pre-snap penalties, and it might come down to if you commit, you know, enough of these, you're not going to be on the field. I mean, I don't care who you are, and I don't care how important you are. You know, the pre-snap penalty issue has to be fixed. Again, it's only August 4th, and we got 1 month, essentially, till week one of the regular season, and that's what really matters. Nothing here in August, you know, matters a lot. But when you see an issue that was an issue all of last season, and a big issue all of last season, continue into the early weeks of training camp this year, you know you still have a problem. And Adam Gase has to do something to solve this problem. Pre-snap penalties, for the few that were in attendance today, let me just say, I'm sorry, I feel for you, because you literally saw almost nothing take place on the field, because it was penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty, and to the point where the scrimmage almost became worthless, as nothing was accomplished on the field, football-wise, just because there were so many pre-snap penalties. So I don't know what he's going to do, Adam Gase, I really don't, but he's going to have to do something. He's going to have to do something, because it seems to be an issue from 2017 has carried over into 2018, and he's got a month to figure this out. Having guys run sprints after practice ain't solving the issue, so you better go to plan B. I don't know what that is. I'm not the head coach. He is. He gets paid a lot of money to figure this stuff out, so he better come up with a plan B to fix the pre-snap penalties and just penalties in general, because there's just too many of them, and we saw it all last year in games, and we saw it today with the scrimmage, just too many penalties. The unofficial stats from today's scrimmage, and I want to give credit to Miami Herald's Adam Beasley as he posted them online. Here's the unofficial stat. The unofficial stats. Ryan Tannehill was 3-for-6 passing, 33 yards, no touchdowns. He had one rush for 16 yards. Brock Osweiler was 7-for-7. Don't go nuts, folks. He was the third string quarterback, and he was 7-for-7 for only 50 yards with one touchdown. The touchdown was a one-yard pass to Drew Morgan. Osweiler pretty much checked down on every pass. There was nothing impressive at all. So I know people are going to see 7-for-7. Yeah, every pass was a dink or a dunk. It was not watchable. Fails was 3-for-4 for 16 yards. No touchdowns. Nothing impressive there. Rushing-wise, Drake had 3 rushes for 10 yards. Sonoris Perry, 4 rushes for 26 yards. Receiving-wise, Amendola had 2 receptions for 18 yards, and Rashawn Scott, 2 catches for 65 yards. Like I said, overall, it was bad all around, but it was really bad for the offense, and the pre-snap penalties just really, really just made this almost unwatchable. On the defensive side of the ball, things were a little better there. Charles Harris, pretty much who won the day, and who made, you know, the most plays today, and sort of, he comes out of this scrimmage being the talk of the scrimmage. Charles Harris had 2 sacks on consecutive plays. Andre Branch also had a sack. Before the scrimmage, they did some drills, sort of 7-on-7 drills and stuff and such. And in them, Tannehill hit Mike Gesicki for a big pass, and Bryce Petty hit Leonte Carew for a 40-yard touchdown as well. Leonte Carew's been quiet this camp. And, you know, he's fighting for his life here. He's fighting for his NFL life in Miami, at least. And he needs to play better. The fact Isaiah Ford here has been hurt for the past few days will give Leonte Carew an opportunity to make more plays and see more action, but he has to make the most of it. So today he did catch a long touchdown in the 7-on-7 drills. Again, Isaiah Ford, he had a strong first week or so, and I still think he's sort of in the lead to be that 6th wide receiver. Leonte is going to have to do more. He's just going to have to do more. And I'm not sure if Isaiah Ford does get back on the field, I'm not sure Leonte can do anything to actually win a spot here, barring one of the first 5 wide receivers here get hurt for Miami and actually has to miss time. Leonte Carew is going to have a tough time making this roster. But today, he did catch a 40-yard touchdown. Mike Gesicki, let's talk about him. Because I would say this week in practice, he's gotten better and better and better each day. And, you know, when Miami selected him in round 2, the fans were excited, a lot of hype. You know, people compare him to Jimmy Graham. Some people compare him to Gronk, which is a bit silly. He's not Gronk. But, you know, there's a lot of excitement around Mike Gesicki. And this past week of practice, he showed flashes every day. And he looks like he's the guy who's just improving day after day after day, and the sky's the limit. And today with this scrimmage, Miami lined him up everywhere. Now with AJ Derby out, Gesicki has seen more snaps with the first string this past week. And, you know, he's held his own for the most part. Look, he'll never be a great blocker, especially this year or right away. So just, we know that. It's like something I almost have to mention every show. But whatever. As a receiver, this kid's the real deal. And when it comes to absorbing the playbook, he picks stuff up like a sponge. Because for a rookie, I mean, they today had him lined up as your tight end in your natural spot as a tight end. They had him flanked out wide like a wide receiver. They had him in the slot. They had him lined up as a fullback. They are throwing everything at this kid, making him learn multiple spots in this offense, lining up in multiple areas. And he looks like a natural out there. He does look like a natural. He understands the playbook. He's not lost. He's not confused. And he is going to be a weapon on this offense like we haven't seen in many years. Mike Gesicki just continues to improve day after day after day. Today in the drills before the scrimmage, he caught a long pass from Ryan Tannehill in the 7-on-7 drills. He just burnt TJ McDonald. He just ran right by him and made a big play. Mike Gesicki, you know, look, it's tough for the rookie. He's only had 2 weeks now worth of practices. Not even really, just like a week and a half, I guess you could say. But he's the guy who just improves day after day. And I think he's going to be a valuable asset to the Miami Dolphins in 2018. I am so excited to see him play. I am, you know, now's the time where you can start getting excited. When you take a player in the draft, you never really know what you're going to get. And even, you know, in the OTAs, the rookie camps, the mini camps, you sort of ignore that stuff. It's guys in shorts just running around, whatever, no big deal. Then you get to training camp and you see a guy make some plays, okay, but it's still training camp. Now, we have seen Mike Gesicki now for about a week and a half, you know, in pads and stuff, make, you know, starting to make plays every day in practice. He's catching a lot of balls in the red zone. He's catching, he's run some fly routes way down the field. He's making big plays down the field. Mike Gesicki, it's time as a fan to start getting excited about watching Mike Gesicki play. And I think I can't wait to see him in the preseason game this week. I want to see how he does when he has to sort of, you know, block someone else. And I want to see how other teams try to cover him and how he matches up against guys who he hasn't seen before. So it's going to be interesting. But by far, Mike Gesicki, you know, just the sky's the limit with him. And this past week, and it sort of capped off today, not so much with the scrimmage itself, but with the 7-on-7 drills before the scrimmage, he's looking good. And he's living up to the hype. And he seems like he's the real deal. Hopefully it just continues, and next week in practice, leading into the preseason game, he continues to play well and improve day after day. Because he's one of those, and that's what you want to see out of rookies, especially in camp, that they just get better day after day. And that's what he's doing, the natural progression. And nothing but great words to say about him. On defense, in the secondary, Cordrea Tankersley, he got the start at cornerback opposite Xavier Howard. On Friday, in Friday's practice, Torrey McTire got the start. So still a rotation there. We don't know, you know, who's got the lead in that spot. There was the article from Armando Salguero earlier this week saying that he believes Tankersley has the lead. But, you know, still every day they're rotating the guys in and out, and we'll see. At the end of the day, I think it will be Tankersley if I had to bet a buck. If I had to bet a buck today, I'd put my buck on Cordrea Tankersley. But we'll see. I think the preseason games are going to be very, very telling in who plays the best there. And it's probably still anyone's race to win that job. At defensive tackle, the two starters, and who have been the two starters, the majority of the practices are Devon Godshaw and Hakeem Spence. Jordan Phillips has not been starting. Now, why? We don't really know. He is in the final year of his contract. We know he's not the hardest worker in the world, although he did show up to training camp in shape, and he does look like he's in the best shape of his life and somewhat motivated. He had a big practice this week on Wednesday, I believe, or maybe it was Thursday. Can't remember the exact day. So he's played well in practice, but today with the scrimmage, the two starters at defensive tackle were Godshaw and Spence. I mean, obviously that can change, and obviously these guys are going to be rotated in and out throughout the game. So who technically starts almost really isn't even important. because it's going to come down to who's on the field for the most amount of snaps, and that's what you're going to want to watch when the season gets started. But at least on paper right now, the starters are Akeem Spence and Devon Godchow. There's going to be a healthy rotation of guys that are going in and out, so we'll keep an eye on that. But Jordan Phillips right now is not starting, and for a guy who's going into a contract year looking for a big payday, you know, that he can't be happy with that. Maybe Miami has sort of put him on the second team to try and motivate him, to try and light the fire under him. I mean, I don't know if that will work. He's been here 3 years, and I know a lot of coaches have tried to light a fire under him. Just never seems to work. Omar Kelly seemed to be the one who lit the fire under him with some of the tweets he put out this week. So maybe we just need Omar to keep tweeting stuff out at Jordan Phillips to get him motivated. I don't know. But we'll keep an eye on that. Like I said, the best player from this scrimmage, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was Charles Harris. Charles Harris, the first-round pick in 2017, had himself a very good day today. 2 sacks, both against the first-team offense. Looked very, very good. And after practice, he spoke to the media, as he was the guy everyone wanted to sort of speak to. And he gave some insights on last season. He said last season, especially this time last year, he was super nervous. He was super nervous for almost all of last year, but he sort of, as a rookie, being a first-round pick, you know, he was trying to think probably way too much, and he was probably overthinking stuff, but he was, you know, very nervous all last year. Stuff moved very fast for him, and it took him time to sort of get a feel to the NFL game. He said this year, this offseason, this training camp so far, he feels much more comfortable, and he feels like he's ready to make more of an impact. Charles Harris, and look, if he continues to do what he did today, that's only good things for the Miami Dolphins, because Charles Harris in college was an elite pass rusher. Not just a good pass rusher, an elite pass rusher who had a multitude of moves, spin moves, swim moves, this move, he had them all. And that's what you want to see from someone making that jump to the NFL, someone who has the speed, that first step, who has the tools to get to the quarterback. At the end of last year, we did see him come on. Now, he didn't rack up a ton of sacks. He only had 2 sacks all year. We get it. On paper, didn't look impressive. But if you watch those final 3 or 4 games, 5 games closely against the Patriots on Monday night, he was in Tom Brady's face the majority of the night. He gave Tom Brady happy feet, and he was the reason Tom Brady, you know, didn't look like your typical Tom Brady. Against the Chiefs, he did have the sack in that game. He played well. Against the Broncos, he was, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback a lot. Charles Harris at the end of last year did look more comfortable, and now he's saying, you know, this year, he comes into this year, he's saying he feels a lot more comfortable, things have slowed down for him, and he's sort of grasping the NFL game better. Hopefully it's true, because, look, Cam Wake, you know, he's only probably got a year or so left. He's not that young, mid-30s. He ain't going to play forever. Andre Branch, again, he's Andre Branch, a nice role player, in my opinion, nothing more. Robert Quinn has had a lot of injury issues in the past. Hayes is older. Miami needs that young pass rusher to sort of step up and be the guy of the future at that spot. Charles Harris, that's why you took him in round one. That's why they took him in round one. Hopefully, he's the guy. And what we saw today is just sort of the start of sort of Charles Harris coming on, and he'll have a big 2018. We can only hope. We really can only hope. Because I think he's a very important piece on that side of the ball. When you look at that side of the ball on the Miami Dolphins defense, they got building blocks who are very young, which you hope are the future of that defense. On that line, you hope it's Harris and Devon Godchow, who sort of are the future of that defensive line. At linebacker, Raekwon McMillan, you hope lives up to the hype when he finally gets on the field in some real games, and he's the future of that linebacking core. And in the secondary, obviously, Xavien Howard, Mika Fitzpatrick, and then guys like Tankersley, McTyre. These are very young players who have all looked good so far in this 2018 training camp, albeit, you know, 10 days in or so, roughly. And I think they're guys that the Miami Dolphins are hopeful for, that are the building blocks on that side of the ball. Yes, everyone's going to talk about Wake and Alonzo and Rashad Jones. Yes, those are big-time names, big-time players. But the future on that side of the ball is the youth. And if that youth can live up to the hype and play to the level we all think they can, I think the sky's the limit for the Miami Dolphins defense. Because at all 3 levels on defense, they got young guys who I think can be big-time players in this league. In the secondary, Howard, obviously, we know. Even Tankersley showed a little bit last year. Linebacker, Raekwon, we haven't seen it, but, you know, the coaches rave about him. Everyone raves about him. He's so smart. It's like having an extra coach on the field. He knows where everyone's supposed to be. So hopefully the hype is real once he's on the field in real games. And then on that line, we saw a little bit last year out of Devon Godchow. Hopefully he continues to improve there on the inside. And on the outside, we need Charles Harris to take that next step. We need him to take the next step. So like I said, overall, today's scrimmage was downright miserable. Nobody was there. There was no fans there, which is kind of disappointing overall. Either, like I said, either the fans just don't care and are just not in the Miami Dolphins right now in South Florida, or the Miami Dolphins organization as a whole did a bad job spreading the word that there was a free scrimmage at Hard Rock Stadium where literally anyone can just go there and walk in for free. Either way, somebody messed up. If it's that, if it's not that, then the fans of South Florida just don't care about the Miami Dolphins right now. And it's going to be, it will take them winning games and being a factor come this NFL season to get the majority of your everyday casual fans to buy in to this team. But only 4,000 or so fans in attendance for a scrimmage. Like I said, it's almost embarrassing because most NFL teams get north of 15,000 fans to a scrimmage. Some teams, you know, the big teams will get 20, 25,000 or more to show up for a scrimmage. So, excuse me, only having roughly 4,000 fans in attendance, not a good sign. There was an article, I didn't talk about this on a podcast Thursday, so I apologize, I wanted to, but we had on Jim Florentine and things ran long, so I want to talk about it now. There was an article in the Miami Herald on Thursday by Armando Salguero, and it's worth talking about. And he interviewed Kenny Stills about Devontae Parker and all the criticism Parker has taken over the past year or so, and what Parker has to do to overcome this. And essentially this offseason, Stills, he invited all the wide receivers up to Nebraska, where his former wide receiver, coach is at Nebraska, and it's sort of a team bonding thing. He invited all the wide receivers up to Nebraska to train for like a week. And talking about Parker, there's some quotes there that, look, for many of you who listen to this podcast, know I'm not a huge fan of Devontae Parker. I don't buy into, you know, this is going to be the year. He's going to, you know, take that next step, all that nonsense. I've seen him on the field now for 3 years, and he has underachieved for 3 years, and I see nothing that will make that change. But Stills gave some interesting quotes and some worth reading. Regarding Devontae Parker, this is from Kenny Stills. I've been watching and trying to play the big brother role for him, get him on the little details of everyday life. Training, rehab, all the things the staff here are trying to get him to understand and trying to get him on a routine we're working on. I've just continued to harp on those things with him. So Parker, you know, you got the Miami Dolphins staff, you got the coaches, you got the trainers, you got the people who watch what he eats, the weights, all this stuff, clearly not listening to them. So Stills is sort of, this offseason, taking Parker under his wing to sort of be one more voice in his head to be like, you can't live your life this way. If you want to be an impactful, productive NFL player, these are the things you have to do. So Stills has sort of taken Parker under his wing and is being that, you know, big brother, like he said, and the voice in his head. But he goes on, Stills. The evolution of how he's taking the coaching, how he's adding everything to his plan of what works for him makes me really proud because I've seen the way he's grown. Okay, I guess that's good that Parker is trying to change his routine, trying to listen to Stills and improve. Good. The bad side is it's taken him to year four. Honestly, Devontae Parker, so I see that quote and I read that Parker is pretty much, you know, has listened to nobody for the first 3 years in Miami. And again, magically, when Parker is playing for a big money contract, essentially, which is what he's doing this year, even though Miami picked up the fifth-year option, they can rescind it, which would make him a free agent. Parker's playing for a big money contract here. This is the year. This is the offseason where he decided to listen. Let's see here. More from Stills. Understand that Parker started the journey toward... Okay, this is maybe for Armando. Understand that Parker started the journey toward conducting himself like a professional at the elementary level. A couple years ago, the Dolphins discovered they had to tell him to have a healthy breakfast every morning. Now, you think a professional athlete who makes a living with his body and being able to, you know, run and sprint and having endurance, he literally makes a living with his body. You know, he needed to be told to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. That's scary. Then someone realized Parker was playing video games into the late hours of the morning before reporting to work the next morning. So not only did they have to tell Parker, you know, eat a healthy breakfast, don't go eat, you know, Egg McMuffins and waffles with tons of syrup. Then they had to tell him you can't stay up to 3 a.m. in the morning playing video games before you report to work at 7 a.m. You have to get a full night's sleep. You have to be rested. You can't just stay up all night playing mindless video games. That's scary. Then someone realized Parker liked chicken nuggets and other food that isn't exactly great fuel for an NFL wide receiver. So, you know, if the alarm bells weren't going off with the guy wasn't eating a healthy breakfast, that the guy was staying up to the wee hours of the morning playing video games, and he was getting no sleep before reporting to the facility and practice, now he's eating chicken nuggets for lunch and dinner and other unhealthy food. And if you listen to this article and if you listen to Kenny Stills, that's all history now. Parker has solved that stuff. Well, you know, great. It only took Devontae Parker to year four to take being an NFL wide receiver, the job of that, seriously. And that's why when people are still holding out hope that Parker is going to now take that next step, he'll be the guy. He's just had bad luck and some injuries. It sounds like a lot of the stuff with Parker is self-inflicted. And I'm sorry if I don't have sympathy for a guy like that. Look, he's like I said, he's got all the tools. And the famous saying I always say, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. This guy, I don't get it with him. I really don't get it with him. He just seems like he doesn't. It seems like he was a first-round pick for a team. He took all the money, and he just doesn't take the job seriously. He doesn't care about being a professional. He doesn't care about being an NFL wide receiver. And he only cares about eating junk food, fast food, and playing video games. And he's not putting in the extra work. He's not putting in the extra time. He's not taking his craft seriously. And we've seen what Adam Gase has done with those types of guys in Miami. He reminds me a little bit of Jay Ajayi here. Jay Ajayi, you know, on the field looked great at times, but when practice was over, he was worried about the clothing line. He was worried about his rap video. He, you know, he didn't care about putting in extra work. And he didn't take his profession of an NFL running back seriously. We saw what happened to Jay Ajayi. Devontae Parker, Miami picked up the fifth-year option because, A, it's a smart thing to do, and that if he does have a great year, then they have him locked in for one more year at a reasonable price tag, and he would be motivated that year because then he really would be playing for a big money contract. But as we saw, that fifth-year option can be rescinded at any time, and if Devontae Parker is still treating things like a joke, not taking his job seriously, he's not going to be here in Miami beyond 2018. And if it's a rough year, he could be gone at the trade deadline. You read stuff like this. I know the article is meant to have the tone of Parker's seen the light. He's going to improve. This is what we wanted from him all along. And if you want to read it that way, you're the optimist, the glass half full type of guy. I read it as he has sort of robbed the Miami Dolphins for three seasons. And we sort of understand why he is not a productive player on the field. And he can get mad at Chris Chambers all he wants. He can get mad at the media all he wants. He can pout all he wants. But at the end of the day, Devontae Parker just has to look in the mirror and look at himself. And now we know why he's just been a first-round bust for 3 years in Miami. And that's what he's been. He's been a first-round bust. And you read this article from one of his teammates. This is one of his teammates, Kenny Stills, saying this. Kenny Stills is saying he was up late playing video games. Kenny Stills is saying he had to be told to eat a healthy breakfast. Kenny Stills is saying He was eating chicken nuggets and unhealthy food. This is a teammate who's now got to put in extra work, take him under his wing, and sort of straighten this kid out. Hopefully it works. Hopefully it works. But if it doesn't, then Parker's time in Miami, you know, won't be much longer, because we've seen what Adam Gase does with these types of guys. He gets them off the roster. And Parker, you know, he needs a big year. He needs a big year in 2018. There's no more Landry, and there's going to be a lot of balls to go around to the other wide receivers. Amendola, he's very injury prone. He's not a spring chicken himself. He's on the wrong side of 30. We're going to see if Devontae Parker can step up finally after all these years and be the guy that the Miami Dolphins thought they got when they drafted him. And like I said, seeing is believing for me. I don't believe he has it in him, but once again, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong, and I would have no problem coming on this podcast saying I was 100% wrong and that Parker proved me wrong. But you read stuff like this, you read these quotes, you read articles like this, and it's very disappointing to say the least. Okay, so that's all for today's show. Tomorrow, Sunday, the Miami Dolphins have an off day. They will not be practicing, so we're going to have an off day here in the podcast. We won't have a show on Sunday. Monday, August 6th, the Miami Dolphins return to practice, 8:30 a.m. Monday, August 6th is the next practice, 8:30 a.m. at the facility. We'll have a show on Monday. Also, on this Monday's podcast, we also have a big announcement to make. So you're going to want to check out Monday's DolphinsTalk.com podcast for that big announcement. And just want to plug, head to the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have a bunch of new articles up. We have a funny Jay Cutler video up that will give you a chuckle. As always, be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. If you want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. And if you, wherever you listen to this podcast, whether iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to leave us a comment and rating as well. As always, everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.